Say amen to that. Why don't you guys have a seat? I was sharing with the first service that there is one thing that I am thankful for, and it hasn't always been true in my life, and that's the bride. Because you know what? Sometimes the church, it's a hard place to fit in, isn't it? And it's kind of interesting. I've come over the years to change my mind on that. I love the bride. And I love the bride partially because of Christ's passion for her, but also this understanding that I am part of her, even though sometimes I feel like I don't fit in, and that's okay, I still belong, right? And so the beauty of this is that there is never a time when I am alone. I praise God for the Holy Spirit, who is with me every second of every day, but I praise God that I am part of a greater family who, when there is low moments, there are those who come beside me to lift me up. That when I'm frustrated, there's ears that I can speak to, physical ears, that I can kind of let all those things out. Amen? It's good to be part of the family of God. Well, this is just a proclamation, this next song, that you know what? It is good to belong. It is good to be a part of the family, and it's called All the People Said Amen. Let's sing it out.
Mercy to be forgiven and be free. It's
say amen. Amen. This next one is one of those songs that has encouraged me on many levels, but one of the first ways it encouraged me is it was written by Phil Wickham. And for those of you who maybe aren't familiar with that name, he's a really young man. And when I first heard this song, I said, man, these lyrics are amazing. And they were so encouraging to me. And then when I found out a kid was writing them, it humbled me and it inspired me. Because we live in a pretty mixed up, brutal world, don't we? And it's pretty amazing to see young people who are trusting in God with their life. And so this is called Living Hope, and I hope that it blesses you. If you know it, sing along. If you don't, follow along as soon as you get the tune.
How great the chasm that lay between.
Praise the Lord.
to say that he's our living hope, eh? Just think about that. Grasp that. He is your living hope. Wow. Well, again, some of you may know, because I have been putting it all over Facebook, but we have a new member of our family, and his name is Theo, and I think he's actually here this morning. I'm working at crate training him, and that's fine, but beagles, if you know beagles, they can be stubborn. Good thing I'm more stubborn, but that's okay. So I haven't slept a whole lot this week, which is just part of the thing when you have a new member of the family, you're getting used to a new routine. I didn't know the songs that Allison had picked, and we haven't done this one in a long time. And last night when we came for practice, I didn't tell these guys, but I was feeling so blessed. I hope that you never forget where you were before Jesus rescued you. I hope you never forget who you were before he started to make you whole. And you know what? When Jesus caught me, when I finally came to that place of understanding that I needed a Savior, I couldn't believe how deep and how incredible and how intoxicating and how amazing his love was. And then I couldn't imagine life without him. And so as we sang this song called Reckless Love, I was praising him all last night that he came to my rescue. Anyway, I hope that you've experienced that. And if you haven't, I want you to consider the Lord today. Let's sing Reckless Love.
Still you give yourself away. Oh, the
Amen. Well, this next song is just a proclamation that He is the King of Kings, and He is holy, and there's coming a day, which I believe is really, really soon, when every knee is going to bow before Him. And this song paints many pictures that I hope excite your heart. Let's sing Revelation Song.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. And is to come.
Anyway, welcome to church this morning. We've got friends, dear friends, who are visiting from PEI. Dwight, many of you know Dwight. He shared here a couple of years ago on a marriage seminar. We've got some visitors here today beyond that, too. We want to welcome you all to church. How many are glad to be here? Right? What better thing to do on a soggy day than to come to church, right? Hang out with people, catch up on the latest gossip. No! Hold on. Have you not been listening all summer? We've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, right? You know that there is a better way to live. And you know what? This is part 17, and we're trying to wrap it all up today, right? But I've been challenged by this, and I hope that you've been challenged by this. And last week, we shared a portion of Scripture that we didn't quite get to the end of, and so we're going to do that today. But last week, we reminded you that you right now are building. You're building. Right? In fact, everybody on the face of the earth is building something right now, even if they're not in the construction trade, because Jesus isn't talking about that. You are building a life. Last week, we called it the ultimate fort. Woo! And I hope that some of you kids are forcing your parents to build an amazing fort, maybe a tree fort, all of the dangerous things that that brings. But what we wanted to really amplify that you are building. You're building, and here's the interesting thing. We hope that what you're building is eternal. We hope that you are building in a wise way, that you are investing in the things that will last forever. And again, last week we were very clear on this. You cannot point to Jesus unless you truly know him. We're not talking about knowing of Jesus. We're talking about knowing Jesus in a personal, intimate way. And you know what? He wants your life to be awesome. So build something that will echo forever. And so we're going to continue this passage of Scripture. I wanted to read it again so it's fresh in our minds. Matthew 7, starting to read at verse 24, Jesus says this. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Right? Incredible teachings of Jesus, and we've been going over them all summer. You know what? It's just been this incredible time of being reminded of these basic Christian beliefs that are so foundational to your success, so foundational to you building something that is healthy and something that will be eternal. And so Jesus reminds us, you know what? You are building. Are you going to build wisely or are you going to build like a fool? And again, I don't mind being called a fool for Jesus, but I don't want to be called a fool by Jesus. And so he says, you will build, be mindful. You are building, be mindful. You are building, be wise. And the second thing he says really is that storms will come. And I want to talk about that today for just a few minutes, this idea that yes, you are building, but yes, we are guaranteed that storms will come. We're taught that. And it's kind of interesting. You know, I've been in the church where they've kind of preached with rose-colored glasses on saying, you come to Jesus and it's holding hands and singing around the campfire, kumbaya, right? And you could have s'mores. Oh, there's one picture at the back of Charlie with the most perfect s'more from our campfire. And I sometimes Kirtland catches me, I'm just looking at the s'more. Right? And he goes, Andrew. I go, oh yeah, just looking at the s'more, right? But it's this whole idea of, you know what, you come to Jesus and everything is gonna be rosy. That's not true. That's not biblical. Now, there's something beautiful about walking with the Savior. There's something beautiful about having his peace and having his calm and having his strength and having his authority with you always, yes. But there will be storms. We are warned about it. And they come in all sorts of different ways at all sorts of different times. It's kind of interesting. You know, we face financial storms, don't we? If you've never had a financial storm, hold on. You're going to find out what it's all about, right? Sometimes they're mental storms where all of a sudden you are caught, right? Talking to yourself, arguing. You're not staring off thinking about a s'more. You're thinking about the bigger issues, right? And you're getting caught in your own mind. Sometimes they're family issues, right? You guys have heard the story before. going to do a funeral, three different viewing places. Why? Because the family couldn't even come together to say goodbye to their loved one. And you want to have multiple funerals. Right? You just want to lay hands on people until they stop breathing because you kind of wonder what earthly good they are, right? It's kind of amazing to me. You're going to have mobility issues. I was thinking about these physical things this morning. I don't know why this week I was thinking of my dad. But my dad, in his last few years of his life, it was everything that he could do to get out of his own bed, to walk to his chair. Because he was in just such pain, right? And I was going, oh, wow, right? Mom would serve him, and mom would tend him, and mom would bring him everything. And then no matter what, because he taught us this when we were kids, he would come to the family table for dinner. And it just about killed him, right? And then after he was done dinner, when he had enough energy, he would make his way either back to the chair or to bed. And I just kind of went, wow, we take for granted what we have, don't we? Until all of a sudden it's gone, like our legs or our hearing or our sight, right? You're going to have storms in relationships. Most of you know that. Right, you're going to have storms of emotions. You're going to have storms at work. Storms come in so many different ways. And this is what I want to remind you today, church. Remember this, that you live in a fallen world. You live in a fallen world. And the safety of Eden, well, that's been disrupted, right? There is danger all around you. And we need to understand that this world is a mess and we are living in it. And thus, we are going to face storms. Every area of your life is going to face storms. And they'll come when we least expect it. I know this is not an encouraging message today, but as a shepherd to you, I kind of, you know, this task of being real with you, of preparing you for those moments that, you know what, you wonder how in the world you are going to hang on. And it's this reminder that even when your grip is failing, his grip will not. But make no mistake, as we wander this world, there is dangers. There is dangers that are all around us, and life will bring us the unexpected. I'll give you some examples of that. You think everything is going good, right? And then all of a sudden, sickness knocks at your door. Whew, talk about life-changing, right? Driving all the way to Halifax to get treatment, staying in hotels or in places that you can't afford, and all of a sudden eating out because there is no place that you know near to Halifax, and all of a sudden, you know what? The bank account starts to drain, and you say, how did it all go so sideways? The one that I hear all the time, Andrew, I met the one. And I'm going, you met the one? And I'm trying to get excited, but I think this is the eighth time you've told me that you've met the one, right? And they go, oh, man, she is a rocket. Woo! She is blasted off. And I'm going, oh, that sounds like lasting love, right? I say those things in my mind, not, of course, out loud, right? And I'll go, wow, what makes this one different? Right? As a counselor trying to help them to see the error of their ways, maybe. You know what? There's some people who should not be choosing their own love. Right? You should just stop dating and maybe come and see somebody who has been maybe doing marriage for a while and let them prearrange something for you because you are making a mess and you know who you are. Right? It's amazing to me. And then there'll be this thing, they'll be going, you know what? Oh, I think I found the one. And I'll go, well, who is she? Well, she's married to the guy down the street. And I'll go, wow. Wow. And she's the one, is she? And then I think, you better stop listening to yourself, right? You better stop looking and you better let me prearrange things, right? You know, it's interesting. Every time we think that we're finally getting traction in life, it's funny how life has a way of kicking you when you're down, right? Like the bank account just finally starts making sense and then all of a sudden you're fired. Woo, thanks, right? The deal is this, guys, is I want you to understand this morning that sometimes life hurts. It hurts. And if you've ever felt hurt by life, you need to know that that pain and that sin that is all around us, sometimes that affects our lives. But you know what? That's not all. Oh, that's not all. Tell them what else they've won, Alex. Well, you know what? There's some times in our lives where we make the storms even worse. The storms that are raging all around us. You know what? There's times when we make matters worse, and it's all because we don't hear the words of Jesus and then do what he says. Do you know that we're supposed to be listening to the voice of the good shepherd? That we, his sheep, should know his voice? And yet so often when storms come, what happens? We start listening to someone else. We start listening to something else. And here's some of the warnings that I have for you this morning. Do you know that you can get caught and make matters worse by listening to self? But sometimes you don't aid in the solution of the storm, that you actually sabotage your own journey. Your poor choices lead to even more poor choices. You know, I ever heard that gambling term, double down? Whoo, that usually doesn't turn out well, right? It's kind of sad to me. But there's times where all of a sudden the storms of life will come our way and we start to have unchecked thoughts, unchecked actions, and we start following our own voice and our own wisdom. You know, that's a pretty scary place to be. You know, that can be one of our most dangerous amplifiers of the storms that we are in. Do you know that your life comes with instructions? Right? The Word of God. I wish that they would put a sticker on every Bible that says, this is your manual for life. If you do not follow the instructions, your warranty would be voided. Right? This whole idea that there are so many people who come to me and they'll say, Andrew, you know what, man, I am in crisis. And you know what, we need to do something about this. And I'll say, okay. So then they tell me this whole story and I'll say, okay, well, what does the Word of God say about that?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, let's look. Do you have your Bible? Oh. Yeah, just a minute, Pastor. It's around here somewhere, right? And then we spend the next 20 minutes while I have a cup of coffee while they're looking for their Bible, which is not a real good sign, right? Then they find it, and they're like, oh, here it is. And the dust just, right? And I'm going, wow. And I can't help but think to myself, I'm saying, okay, you are in crisis, and you are seeking God, and you are seeking counsel, and now all of a sudden you've been pointed back to the manual. What if we were to follow the instructions day by day, moment by moment? Did it ever occur to you that some of our crisis could be avoided by simply following the instructions? And yet sometimes we are our own worst enemy, right? We start listening to self as if we are the way. No, we are not the way. We are a mess. And you know, it amazes me when people come in and they say, you know what, Andrew, I just want to know how far is too far, right? And I'm going, why do you want to know how far is too far? And they say, well, I just want to make sure that I don't go over the ledge. So you need to tell me how far is too far. And then I slowly see them in their life edging towards the cliff, right? Because, oh, that's too far. Not too far yet. Oh, that's too far. Oh, I kind of like it by the edge. Ooh, it's kind of exciting by the edge. And whoa. Why do we listen to our desires? What's sin? Sin is when you try to fulfill your God-given desires without God. Then you're found in sinful places. Then you're found listening to lies. Then you hear great crashes. Don't listen to yourself. Don't aid the storm. Then there's times where I see this a lot in the church too, where people listen to wolves. Have you ever seen that? Wolves in sheep's clothing. Did you ever hear that? Here's a good one. Be even more aware of wolves in shepherd's clothing. Did you ever hear that one, right? But the reality is this, is there's some times where we as sheep get caught listening to the wolves, and that's a scary place to be. Church, I want to be honest with you today. You were called sheep for a reason. You and I have the title sheep for a very good reason. If you'd been here first service, I said, we are sheep, and guess what Greg does? Meh! Right? I said, what's a goat? He goes, bah! Right. Anyway, it's an inside joke, but it's kind of funny, right? So Greg was making sheep sounds, but I'm going, we are sheep. What are sheep? Sheep need to be tended. Sheep need to be led. Why? Because sheep are not smart. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. That apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Apart from Christ, I will self-destruct. Apart from Christ, I am a mess. You saw that video that went viral a little while ago. This kid was trying to pull the sheep out of this hole. Like there's this trench that goes along and he's pulling the sheep, right? And he finally gets the sheep out and the sheep bounds and bounds and back in the hole, right? And you're going, yeah, that's us. We're not too smart. We wander. Right? We get led astray. We get distracted. And don't forget this, as a sheep, you are weak. You're weak. Know those limitations. Acknowledge those limitations. Then you can adjust for those limitations and stay close to the shepherd who is strong, who knows the way. But then there's those moments where we start listening to the wolves. Why? Because even though they're in sheep's clothing, they move differently, don't they? Whoo, they're some slick man. They're agile, right? Man, those sheep are fast. Those sheep seem to be a little taller and have gray legs, right? And really sharp teeth. I don't understand. But it looks like a sheep. Doesn't move like a sheep. It doesn't talk like a sheep. But I think I'm going to follow that one. Why? Because that sounds exciting. And before we know it, we're listening to the voices of wolves. You're not supposed to listen to the voice of wolves. You're to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. How do you know the difference between a sheep and a sheep in, or a wolf in sheep's clothing? Well, here's the interesting thing. Just take a look. Observe. You know what sheep eat? Grass. You know what wolves eat? Sheep. Whoa! If you see a sheep eating a sheep, know that something is up and hit pause. Right? It's amazing to me how many times I see people in the church and they're following wolves and listening to the voice of wolves and are captivated by wolves. And all the while, there's the shepherd who's trying to lead them out of danger. Church, I'm asking you to be careful because the storms of life come, but many times we amplify them. And then there's those times, you know what, we listen to the sick. Maybe you've done that. Those are brothers and sisters, so it's easy to do sometimes, but we start to listen to the sick. Well, again, are we not to listen to the good shepherd? Well, yes, but you know what? I've been really, really, really hanging around with this person in the church, and you know what? They've been really, really helping me, and then all of a sudden, that person betrays them because they were sick themselves, and we're listening to the sick, and then what happens? All of a sudden, the journey ends. How many people have been let down by a brother or sister in Christ, a proclaimed brother or sister in Christ? Even maybe they didn't mean to, right? You've been hurt. How many of you have been hurt by Jesus? Like nobody. Like I feel weird putting my hand up. But I've been hurt by the church, but why does Jesus get the blame for all the bad things that we do? You know, if we're listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, then those other voices that hurt us, you know what? They won't destroy us. You know, sometimes brothers and sisters who are ill, right, and they're playing with sin, if you watch and you observe, pretty soon you find out, you know what? They're weaponized. Right? You become a believer, then all of a sudden you have all of the authority of heaven. You have all of the armor of God available to you. Now, here's the interesting thing. How many people would give a sharp sword to a baby? Nobody, right? Because they're going to cut themselves. They're going to devastate themselves. They're probably going to devastate others that are around them. And yet in the church, more times than I am very comfortable with, I see brand new babies wielding swords that have no idea how to use them. And they're cutting down brothers and sisters. And those brothers and sisters that they cut down are so discouraged that they walk away from the Good Shepherd. You know, sometimes we're guilty of cutting others, aren't we? Church, why do we do that? Why in the world don't we learn to use the weapons that are available to us? Why don't we learn to put on the whole armor of God and how to use it? And you know what? Why don't we acknowledge when jealousy and gossip and gross things come up in our midst? Because you know what? I see a lot of Christians who think they're sneaking and getting away with it. They're not, but they're stabbing each other in the back all because of jealousy and pride. We're not called to listen to those who are sick. We are called to listen to the Good Shepherd. He is the one who knows the way, and he is the one who will not let us down. When the storms of life come, know whose voice you're listening. Another thing we do is, you know what? We listen to the enemy. This and listening to self can be two of the dangerous ones that I have seen over the last 30 years of ministry. It's amazing to me. But there are times where, you know what, the enemy, we understand that the enemy can use every moment to discourage you. You do understand that, right? So again, let's go over this basic Christian belief. Is God vulnerable? No. God knows no vulnerability. You can't sneak up on God. There is no sneak attack that works with God. God is almighty and God has already won. The battle is over, right? You can't hurt God because he's God Almighty. So what does the enemy do? The enemy does the next best thing. If he can't get to God, then he's going to hurt you because you are God's child. And you're precious to the Father. And so if the enemy can't hurt the Father, but he can hurt you, then indirectly he hurts the Father. And he makes a mockery of everything that God did to save you. And so there's times when, you know what, life just gets hard, and those things may not be spiritual attacks. They may just be that we live in a fallen world. But then there's those moments where spiritual attacks are absolute, and you, my friend, are at war. It's calculated. It's planned. It's a pretty incredible, scary place to be. And here's a statement. I don't think it's too strong. Do you know that if you are a believer here today, that there is never a time that you are not in the crosshairs of the enemy? Like, think about that. You could be rosy. You could be living on the mountaintop. God could be close. The good shepherd could be right by your side, and everything is going smooth, and everything is going good. But you know what? There is one who has taken aim at you from afar. All the time you are in his crosshairs, and we need to be prepared. Because he is playing for eternity, right? And so here's another uncomfortable thought, right? Who do bullies pick on? The weak, right? So what do? We try to teach our kids to stand up for themselves, and hopefully you've learned to stand up for yourselves, because how do you stop a bully? You stand up to him, right? So if bullies pick on the weak, it's kind of amazing to me that the enemy is no different. That if you find yourself under spiritual warfare often, well, guess what? You maybe need to be thinking about the way that you are living and the way that you are training and the way the voices that you are listening to, right? It amazes me that there is times when all of a sudden the devil starts to pick on us, and instead of standing up for ourselves, we lay down and let him continue to kick us. Think of these verses here. Psalm 144, verse 1. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. That's you. Church, do you know that you're designed to be a spiritual warrior? Do you know that you're designed to take down giants and destroy walls and to move mountains? Do you know that? How about this one? James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I'm sharing these verses because I don't want you or I to ever be a pushover for the enemy, right? I don't want you to be that easy meal, right? If the devil or his demons decide that you are the next assignment, I want them to know your name. And I use that terminology. There's a story in Acts 19. Right, the church is growing, right? And miracles are being performed. And again, why are miracles? It seems like when we look back at miracles, miracles were performed to birth salvation. Right? God still performs miracles today, amen? He does, but in that time, people ask me, well, why was he pouring out his spirit? Why were people, so many people, finding miracles in that day? Because salvation was new, and guess what was birthed? Salvation was birthed as a result from those miracles. Now, you know what? But you know, those who've seen Jesus and believe, wonderful. Blessed are you, because you haven't seen, and yet you still believe. It's not about the miracles. We don't need the miracles anymore, because we've seen a Savior. Now, praise God, he still performs miracles, amen. But here's the deal. Miracles are being poured out, and so all of a sudden, the Jews are trying to get in, right, on some of the church growth and some of the things that are happening, and one of the high priests has seven sons, and so they're going out, and they're trying to heal in the name of Jesus, just like the disciples are doing, but all of a sudden, something goes very wrong, because they come across this demon-possessed feller, right? And the seven sons of the high priest, they're trying to cast the demon out in the name of Jesus, but they're not understanding the power that they're trying to call upon, and all of a sudden, the demon answers them. Woo! Would that get your attention, right? I don't know how many of you have been involved in spiritual warfare. Like, go back and listen to our podcast on spiritual warfare, and you're going to be reminded of some things that are vital. So all of a sudden, this demon speaks back to these guys. Right? It says in Acts 19, that day the evil spirit answered him, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Woo! Can you imagine? Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Wow. Wild, incredible, supernatural, fantastical things, right? Examples, not exceptions. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Primarily, we wrestle against these principalities, right? Are your eyes open to it? Are you aware of it? Are you ready for it? Because the enemy longs to attack you. And you know what? If they come to attack me, I hope that they would know my name, right? That I'm being attacked by the fella who drew the short straw. Right? That if he comes to lay a beating on me, that he is going to leave bleeding, knowing that he had been in a war. And the only way that you can have that kind of authority is when you love the good shepherd, when you obey the good shepherd, when you become a student of his word, when you love theology, when you choose to put on the entire armor of God, and not only that, but train to use it. Then you're running the race. Then the power of the blood becomes reality. Then the power of the resurrection becomes yours. And pretty soon, the devil knows your name. You see, that's what God has called us to. We may be sheep, but he's leading us to way better things. Wow, spiritual warriors. Are you ready for that? Because you shouldn't be listening to the enemy. You should be listening to the good shepherd's voice. And here it is. Jesus sums it all up. He says, you know what? Hearing me isn't enough. You can hear me and still build upon the sand, you fool. You need to hear me and you need to listen. See, it all comes down to an action of love, right? Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, what? You'll obey me. If you love me, what? You'll keep my commands. And guys, again, God's commands are not designed to suck the joy out of your life. God's whole plan and law is designed to protect you and to advance you and to guide you and to cheer you on. You know what? Here's the deal. The whole thing that we've been talking about this summer, it's the difference between eternal castles and castles in the sand. What are you building? Jesus hopes that it's something eternal. It's the difference between surviving the storms or hearing the great crash. You'll be the great crash. It's the difference of making it home safe or missing out on all of eternity. Think about that. Everybody bow your heads. Whew, I'm hot. Jesus summed it all up with a pretty amazing picture that he paints for us, and one that is a beautiful ending, a useful, incredible place to dwell, a life that will echo. But the contrast to that is he warns us that some will build nothing more than a mess, and it will crash. Are you going through a storm today? Storms are going to come, guys. Are you going through the storm? You know, there's one who longs to meet you in the midst of that storm, and he walks on water, and if you keep your eyes focused on him, he promises that he's not going to leave you, he's not going to forsake you. When you sink, he's going to grab you. He's going to lead you back to the boat, and after you're in the safety of the boat, he even has the power to calm the storm and to bring you all the way home. But far too often, guys, we get in the storm, and we add to the trouble. Why? Because we start to listen to lies. We start to listen to self. Instead of listening to the good shepherd, we start to listen to the voice of wolves. We start to chase after the wrong things. There's times when we hear the words of Christ, but we don't put them into practice. If you ever get lost in life, Bert Montgomery told me, my Sunday school teacher from when I was a boy, Andrew, if you ever get lost in life, turn to the Sermon on the Mount. It's a compass and it'll guide you through. Oh, that you would hear these words of Christ and do as he says. Because when the storms come and the rain falls and the rivers rise, oh, that you would be building upon the rock that is eternal. That's my caution this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for wrecking us this summer. It's been awesome. It's been awesome seeing and being reminded of all of the incredible truths that you have, Lord. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for the entirety of Scripture. But Lord, as we've waded through this, Lord, there's been things that have been revealed. And Lord, some of those things needed to change. Some of those things still need to change. Some of those things need to be amplified. God, you're good. And I pray that we would hear your voice. And then I pray that our love for you would move us to action. We wouldn't just hear, but we would do what you say. We thank you for all of your warnings. We thank you for all of your love. We thank you for all of your teaching. Let it continue to transform us in the days that are ahead. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.